The following message by Pastor Joshua Johnian is made possible by Maranatha Partners, helping people everywhere believe that Jesus is the only way. You will find us online at maranathach.com. Click the Connect with Us on Facebook tab to visit Pastor Joshua's daily devotionals, teaching notes, video clips, and a complete archive of Pastor Joshua's daily blog. These teachings are intended to unpack and present an innovative approach to understanding the questions of purpose and destiny through the Word of God. We now join today's teaching, already in progress.
Amen.
I'm really techie like Josh. Well, several weeks ago, it was in January actually, and I just want to share this before I start. We were on a Tuesday night Bible study at the house, and every Tuesday we close out and we take a time to just pray. We pray for those that aren't there, we pray for needs, we pray for whatever the Lord starts speaking, and Valerie started to pray. And she started to say these words. She said, "Lord, I just pray that there be a new season and new revelation." And my spirit just inside it just leaped. And I knew, I said, "That's for me. I want that." So I said, "Valerie, would you," I stopped her midway and I said, "Would you lay hands on me and pray that again?" And I believe that I'm walking in a new season because of that night. That prayer, Valerie. So thank you for being obedient to listening to the Holy Spirit. But I'm saying it's not only for me, it's for the family at Maranatha. So today we're going to pray and we're going to believe that God is going to impart, because there's revelation knowledge that the Lord wants to impart to us to walk in the deeper things of God. And we've been talking about embracing the Holy Spirit. So this message is going to talk a little bit about that. It's going to touch a little bit that. But I want everybody to stand. Can somebody interpret for Catalina? So she. Oh, you are? Okay, great. I want everybody to stand like we usually do. We're going to read this one scripture out loud. We're not going to be here, but we're going to read this because the Word of God is eternal. They're words of life. It has power to transform. It pierces. We know it says it pierces the secret intents of the heart. So at the count of three, this right here was the Apostle Paul. He was praying to the church in Ephesus. And he prayed this for them. And I believe this is what one of the things the Lord wants to do with us here in the family of Maranatha. So let's, at the count of three. One, two, three.
Asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God.
Amen. I want to pray. So, Father, we just pray. And there's another translation that I like just a teeny bit more than the New Living Translation. It says this, that the Lord may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Wisdom and revelation, that you may walk in the deeper things of God. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we stand as a family. We lift our hands in receiving mood, and we ask you, Father, that you would pour out the spirit of wisdom and revelation that we may know you better. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So as Joshua said, I had been sharing with him after that night of prayer. I had gone into a season of fasting and seeking the Lord, and what has happened has been remarkable. I literally cannot open this word without seeing something I've never seen before. I mean, just like obscure little things start to pop up. And it's transformed how I see myself in light of Jesus, in light of the Holy Spirit, in light of the kingdom of God. It has transformed how I see scripture, and it's transformed how I walk in seasons of difficulty, because this came out of a season of trial, a season of difficulty. But I'm going to read to you. Joshua didn't let me read this. He said it was too much scripture. We couldn't read it together. So I will read it for you. We're going to visit a passage. We're going to visit Mark 17 through 24. So if you have your Bible, you can open it and follow with me. Mark 9, 17 through 24. I'll give you a second to find it. And one of the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought you my son, possessed with a spirit which makes him mute. And whenever he seizes it, it slams him to the ground, and he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and stiffens out. I told your disciples to cast it out, and they could not. And he answered them, saying, Oh, unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him to me. They brought the boy to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit threw him into a convulsion, and falling to the ground, he began rolling around and foaming at the mouth. And he asked his father, How long has this been happening to him? And he said, From childhood. It has often thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And Jesus said, If you can, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the boy's father cried out and said, I do believe, help my unbelief. Anybody ever pray something like that? I believe, but help my unbelief. So we know, even by this small scripture, there are levels of faith. And there are levels of belief that we walk in. And I know some people can believe for some things in a greater measure than other people can believe and have faith for other things in a greater measure. And as I was trying to pencil this all down, this has been happening since January, I was trying to capture everything the Lord has been revealing to me. And I was really struggling in which way I would go. Is that better? Which way I would go. You know, I could have talked about prayer and fasting. Could have talked about the spirit of wisdom and revelation knowledge. Could have talked about walking through the kingdom with the lens of faith. And then Josh and I have been talking about this for some time now, for weeks, and we've been going through. And really it boils down to why we need the revelation of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Why we need the revelation of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so, in very Pastor Joshua form, I'm going to have some questions as well. Have you ever, because he always asks the question, doesn't he? Have you ever watched a movie? You start watching the movie, and you have an expectation of what this movie is going to be about, and all of a sudden, it has nothing to do with what you expected. Anybody been there? I can't remember when it was. I'll say it was several weeks ago. We were having a lazy day, and I was just tired. I was like, I just want to stay in my pajamas all day long and watch Netflix. That's what I was going to do. So stay in the pajamas and watch Netflix. No makeup, nothing, Netflix. And I went upstairs and I said, okay, Josh, open the queue. What are we going to watch? I said, it can't be anything too stressful, like those movies Joshua likes to watch, those Taken movies where you just sit there and your knuckles are white and you're like, ah! And my neck starts to hurt and all this. And so we go through the queue and there's cute little picture of this couple, and he's looking at her, and she's looking at him, and they're holding hands. A romance in the 1940s. I'm like, that's my movie. Benign. I don't have to think. I don't have to worry. I'm just going to watch this cute little romance. Well, the movie starts, and it's this elderly woman penning down a story. And it was this romance she had in a concentration camp. So now I'm watching this movie. I didn't want to be stressed out. And it was like intense from the opening scene to the closing scene. Totally unexpected. But what about life, right? Does that not happen to us? You start along the way. You're walking down the journey. You've got these great expectations. And bam, it all changes. It's not what you expected it to be. Has anybody been there? One hand, two hand, one leg, two leg, right? And then you're left like, how did I get here? Why did this happen? I don't understand, and I have a lot of questions. Yeah? Right? So, as some of you may know, that happened to Pastor Joshua and I at the beginning of the year. And we had this expectation of something that was going to happen, and it was like the writing was on the road. This thing is 99.9% sure that this is going to come to pass. And it was going to be of great assistance to us financially. And I mean, all the phone calls had been made. Everything was just like lined up. We were supposed to hear mid-January. First week of January comes by, crickets. Second week of January, crickets. So we finally find out that it didn't happen. And y'all heard the story already. It shook the house. It shook the house. It was great disappointment. And there was all kinds of emotions and all kinds of questions and whys. And, you know, you sit there and you're like, Lord, I'm living right. I'm seeking the kingdom. I'm following you. I don't get it. Quite honestly, I was grieved. I was grieved beyond grief. And if he grieves, I grieve. Just the way it goes. And those that are married, you know how that works. So I didn't know what to do. I'm like, I have to hear from God. And the one thing that I know to do, that the Bible says to do, and Joshua taught it in his message, in his messages on prayer and fasting. And if you haven't read his book, Victory Over Self, shameless plug, it's in there. It's called a grievous sacred moment, a sacred grievous moment. It's you're so grieved that there's nothing else you can do but fast and pray, just like Hannah did about being barren. So I said, you know, Lord, I really need to know if this is you or is this the enemy? So I embarked in a fast like I've never did before. It was extended, and I knew I had this foretaste that I was going to go into some warfare. So I literally called out the fast. This was like totally out of anything I've ever done. I went upstairs to the room upstairs where I pray and have my devotions. And I said, I'm calling a fast. I said it out loud. I declared it to the powers and principalities. I said, I'm consecrating myself and I am presenting my body to you, O God. Because I knew I'd never done this before this long. I said, I'm presenting my body to you, Lord, as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. I kept on saying it out loud because I knew I wanted to declare it out there. And I defined the fast. I defined it. I said, God, I need to know two things. One, is this you or is this the enemy? I went into my fast thinking, it's the enemy. And I said, and if it's the enemy, I'm not leaving until I see him with my own eyes, for real. And he is way off the borders of the sphere and the territory that you have given me. I don't want him here anymore. So I said, it was good intentions, but it was not right. I said, Lord, I don't care if I weigh 5 pounds. I want to see it. So I went into this fast. In all honesty, I went into this fast thinking that I was engaged in this kind of warfare because that is how the Lord had dealt with me before. Prayer, intercession, breakthrough, spiritual warfare. So I figured this is how he does it with me, right? Well, here we go. He didn't. It was a complete different experience. So I'm going to share with you today 4 nuggets. There's more, but I can only 4 is all I can share for sake of time. 4 nuggets of what I learned during this time of making myself available to God, okay? Nugget number one, if you take notes, you'll have 4 takeaways. Nugget number one, if you make yourself available for God to address your life, be prepared to receive the unexpected. Be prepared to receive the unexpected. No, I went in with one intention. I came out with a complete way better than what I ever thought I would get. And this is, God started to speak to me about understanding the kingdom of God and how the kingdom of God is always expanding. I say that because that's a normal statement. We'd all say, yeah, the kingdom of God is expanding. Can we say that? One thing I realize is to know with your natural senses, and then there's another thing to know with your spirit. That God gives you revelation because what the revelation does is transforms you and it demands you to change and it shows you. there's just a knowing. I don't know any other way to say it than you know that you know with every cell of your being. And in part, this God started to speak to me as the reason the kingdom is expanding, it's connected with this one reality, that Jesus said this. Jesus said what? He said that the kingdom of God is within us. The kingdom of God is within us. This is just like blow your mind. The kingdom of God is within us. And this, what did Jesus mean by that is that when we become born again of God, the Spirit of the living God that rose Jesus from the dead dwells within us. Why anybody would not want this, I have no idea. I mean, think about this. God in you. God is in you. The kingdom is in you. Everything the kingdom brings is in you. Happiness, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. That's the kingdom. And Ephesians says this, the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians, that we are sealed with the guarantee of the promise, which is the Holy Spirit, until the redemption of all things. Meaning, when Jesus comes back and the kingdom is on the earth and everything gets restored, the way that life is going to be, we're sealed with that. And we can live today kingdom living. Kingdom living. We don't have to. Is there depression in heaven?
No.
We don't have to live depressed. Is there lack in heaven?
No.
Is there lack in the kingdom? No. Is there hate in the kingdom?
No.
Is there unforgiveness in the kingdom? Okay. That's what we have inside, the kingdom. Nugget number two. This was the smack. Boop, Jeanette, boop. Whoopshed, boop, boop. When you make yourself available for God, He will address the place of the kingdom in your life before He addresses your needs and your wants. I'll say it again. When you make yourself available for God, He will address the place of the kingdom in your life before He addresses your wants and your needs. All right, so what happened? I went to God, I defined my fast. I literally had 2 pages of requests. Full. I need. But you know what? During this time, this is what I learned. The Father desires intimacy with His creation. The Father desires, remember last week, Pastor Joshua said about Peter saying, "Where will I go?" And he said, this means to be shut in with Jesus, shut in with Him. This has been God's intention from the beginning in the garden. Adam and Eve walked with Him in the cool of day. And then when He returns, this is His intention. We will go, we will tabernacle with Him. When He came, Emmanuel, God with us. This is the heart of God, that you live one with Him, one with Him. One with Him. Look, Jesus said this, and this is an invitation. This is an invitation for everyone that has been sealed with the Holy Spirit, that has been called of God, that we live like this. Jesus prayed this prayer in John 17, 21. He said this, "I pray that they all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us so that the world will know you sent me." The world will know that Jesus is Lord because we have taken the time to walk one with Him. When we go out into the highways and the byways and the river of God starts to flow out, the kingdom starts to flow out, and you start speaking the words of life, people are going to know you were with Him. They're going to know. And as I... Oh my gosh. As I was writing this down, I remembered a story. God brought it to my remembrance because I promise you, it was somewhere in the recesses of my brain and I had forgot it. Years ago, when we were in Boston, we did a lot of productions and we did a lot of, Yolanda had a lot of dance thing going on, so there was costumes galore, so we always needed seamstresses. We had a lot of friends in the Brazilian community, and the best seamstresses were from the Brazilian church. It's just the way it was. So somehow we got connected with this little old lady, and I was the one that would pick her up and talk to her because she spoke, I don't know how this worked out, but she spoke Portuguese, I spoke Spanish, and somehow we understood each other. So I went one day to pick up this lady that somebody had said, oh, call her, she lives up in Chelsea, and I got in the car and went over there. And so this little old lady standing there, I bring the car up, and she's the old smile. I open the door for her, I get out, I open the door, she gets in the car. I turn around, I get in the car. And suddenly I sit in the car, and the presence of God was so amazingly, I can't like, thick in the car, that I just started to weep. I literally started to cry. That woman brought the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, into the car. And I said, all I could say, I kept on saying, Espíritu Santo está aquí. I said, Holy Spirit is here. And suddenly this little old lady raised her hands and she says, Gloria a Dios, glory to God. And when she raises her hands, just this, oh, it was just so beautiful. I just cried. I couldn't drive. I cried. So we had church in the car, right? And then once we got composed and we were laughing and it was so awesome. Oh, my goodness, it was so awesome. She started to tell, I started to ask her. I said, you know, what she said, I wake up every morning at 3 o'clock in the morning and I spend time with the Lord. And I've been doing that for over 30 years. I knew she had been shut in with Jesus when she got in the car. She paid the price and she brought him everywhere she went. Who is this little lady? I don't know her name. Honestly, I could hardly remember. I didn't even remember the story until I sat down. And I know God reminded me. She was just like me. She was just like you. She was just like you. This is what God is calling us to do. Calling us to walk so that when we go the highways and the byways and we go to work and we tell people and we speak the words of life because we're so shut in with Jesus, we're so one with him, they know that they know. And some might not like it, and guess what? That's just okay. They don't like it. But there are others that need to hear. There are others that are depressed. There are others that are in bondage. That the words of life, that the presence of God flowing out of us, the rivers of God flowing out of us will change their life. And I know everybody in this room had somebody with rivers flowing out tell them about Jesus. If not, you wouldn't be in this room, right? So, what happens to us? Let's not let life get in between and say, kingdom established within me. It goes smaller, smaller, and smaller. Let us not do that. Let us not do that. Let us be that like that little old lady. Shut in with Jesus. All right, nugget number three. Almost done. Nugget number three. And this one I learned. It's amazing. Fasting is a mystery that enables us to walk in kingdom belief. Fasting is a mystery that enables us to walk in kingdom belief. What do you mean, Jeanette? Okay, we talked about, we read that scripture in Mark. Everybody remember? The Father said what? He said, I believe, help my unbelief. Correct? All right. So a couple of verses down, the disciples are with Jesus, and the Bible says this. They set him aside and they asked him a question. They said, Lord, why couldn't we cure him? I mean, it was a mute spirit. They had authority over all spirits. They did, because they had gone out and laid hands on the sick and so forth. And Jesus says to them, a couple of verses down, his answer was, this kind comes not out without fasting and prayer. Now, usually we read that to say, the mute spirit. The commentaries say it, as Paul, you talked about it last week in the class. The fasting was curing their unbelief. You see, the disciples of Jesus didn't fast when Jesus was with them. They didn't. The Pharisees and the disciples of John asked Jesus, said, why don't your disciples fast? And Jesus said, does the bride fast while the bridegroom is with them? No. But the day is coming where my disciples will fast. So, that leads us to believe. Jesus is not here right now, so the day has come for us to fast. And they did, and we know reading the book of Acts that the church fasted, they prayed, they got together. These are the things they did. So as Christians, this is part of our journey with the Lord. This is part of our discipline. This is part of doing what the Word says. This is part of positioning ourselves for faith to increase. And I say it's a mystery because it makes no sense. It makes no natural sense. You abstain yourself from food. Oops. You abstain yourself from food, and suddenly the spirit man within you, his ears are like, do you remember the bionic man? Was he the one with the ear, or was it the bionic woman? I can't remember. But your ears start to hear things you've never heard. The eyes start to see, and you start to have this faith that it's like, I believe. This is true. The kingdom is within me. The rivers of God. I mean, it's just, but does that make natural sense? You abstain from food and then it doesn't make natural sense. But it's true. It's true. Because the word of God is true. And Jesus said it. He did say it. He said, and when you fast, and then he gives the rule of how to fast. He's like, get pretty. Don't walk around all doom and gloom. Oh, I'm fasting. No. When you fast. He didn't say if. Family. He didn't say if. He said when. So the expectation is that is going to be part of our natural Christian walk. Our walk with the Lord. All right. Nugget number four. Quick. Nugget number four. Kingdom patterns matter. And you will only see and understand them by living an intimate walk with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. So here we go. I'm going to say it again. Kingdom patterns matter, and you will only see and understand them by living an intimate walk with Him. What do you mean, Jeanette, by kingdom patterns? What do you mean? I'm going to tell you. The Word of God is full of kingdom patterns. Patterns of how we live in the kingdom, what the kingdom looks like, what kingdom talk sounds like, what the sound of the kingdom, music, worship, what that sounds like. It's full of patterns. The Word of God is full of patterns. We've been talking about this. We talked about Jeremiah, and we saw how he approached the king. That is a foreshadow, a pattern, how we approach our king. He participated. Remember, we talked about participating. Jesus came, look, we need to understand this. Jesus came in the flesh. God in the flesh came as a representative of what a true, genuine human being looks like. Acts like, walks like, talks like, believes. He is the blueprint for us to follow of genuine humanity, where the kingdom was always where. That one's sick, I'm going to pray. I'm going to believe God. I know God can heal that person. That one's sick. Oh, look at that one. That one's sad. I'm going to give him words of life. Genuine humanity. Kingdom bursting out of him. You know, we talk about the kingdom bursting in. I'm asking God to teach me how to walk where the kingdom is bursting out of me instead of that way. Because it's here. It's here. It's in you. 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 Kingdom patterns. And the challenge we face is this, and it's summed up, I think, really in this question. Do we have a revelation of the Holy Spirit? Do we desire to have a revelation of the Holy Spirit? Because you have to understand, this is going to require change. It will require change. You receive revelation, it will not require, it will demand it. Yes. It will demand change in your life. It will demand it. Now, it will transform you as you walk in what it's demanding. And the question is this, do we have the revelation from the Holy Spirit to discover these treasures that God has for us? You know, I was reading the other day, the Bible, it says, the secret of the Lord is with those who fear Him. If we walk in the fear of God, God is going to start to tell us secrets. I don't know about you, but I want to know the secrets of God. I want to know the secrets of the kingdom. And remember, this is not for us. It is for us, but it's not for us. This is for the dark and dying world that is that needs Jesus. Yes. Guys, people are dying, going to hell, and we are not telling them that the Spirit of the living God wants to dwell inside of them. They're dying. All right, so listen to this awesome scripture. Isaiah 45:3. So good. Yum, yum, yum. I will give, this is the Lord says in Isaiah, I will give you hidden treasures and wealth tucked away in secret places. I will reveal them to you. Then you will know I'm eternal, the God of Israel, who calls you by name. Calls us by name. Calls us by name. And this is the thing with that scripture. Think about a treasure. What's that movie you like? The one with the treasure hunter.
Indiana Jones?
Yeah, yeah. Are treasures found in the normal sidewalk when you're going around every day? Is that how you find a treasure? No. Treasures are in the secret places. And Jesus said it. And when you pray, go into, what did he say? The secret place, to the closet. For what you do in secret, I will reward you in public. Okay. We don't do it for the reward. We do it, though the secret's the reward, but this is a pattern. The secret. So I've given you hidden treasures and wealth tucked away in secret places that I will reveal them to you, and then you will know that I am the eternal God, the God of Israel, who calls you by name. This is what the Lord wants to do. And we just get so satisfied with crumbs and little. Jesus had a little lamb, and Jesus, when he wants to dig and say, I want to tell you a secret. Come, I'm over here. I'm hiding over there in that corner. I want to tell you a secret that's going to change your life. And it's going to change you and transform you so much that the kingdom is going to come out of you, and then you're going to be able to bring others in, and their lives are going to be transformed, and they're going to be changed, and they're going to walk in glory and glory, and they're going to be represented, and they're going to be kingdom walkers. Oh, my goodness. Oh. Kingdom, walking in the kingdom, and the joy, and the happiness. And let me tell you, there's so much that God's been showing me. Oh, my gosh. This is, we go through hard seasons, and sometimes these seasons don't change. Sometimes it just is hard, but God started to speak to me about rivers and the rivers flowing. And you know what? I think it's Zechariah. He's talking about the rivers that come out of the kingdom of God, and it said, and they will flow in the winter and in the summer. And I looked that up, just natural, in the natural. Rivers don't stop flowing. When it freezes over and it's winter season, there's water underneath running. It never stops. This flood river doesn't stop. It doesn't matter. We stop it. We keep it stagnant. We do. Because we don't stir it up. We don't search it. We don't. And so this is the exhortation. If you're in the wilderness and if you're in the winter season, guess what? The river is still flowing. The river of God is still flowing. It's still flowing. So Jesus said this. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure a man discovered in a field. In his excitement, he sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field and get the treasure too. Matthew 14:44. What's the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. Like a treasure. He sold everything. It costs. It will cost, but it's so worth it. What? Just like Peter said, where else are we going to go, Lord? We give it. Where else? We're so far into this. Where else are we going to go? Shut in with Jesus. Shut in with Jesus. You know, Mona wrote a song, and it's not on my notes. Mona wrote a song. Oh, goodness, I'm probably going to have to sing this. That's not good. And she said, and the song said, shut in with Jesus, I'm shut in with the Lord. Like a vessel of honor, I wait upon the anointing oil. I'm telling you, God wants to pour His Spirit upon you, and He wants you to walk with the rivers of God in the kingdom flowing out of us. He wants this. He wants us to walk in kingdom power. He said, these things that I've done, you will do even greater. If we're not walking in this, then something's missing. Something is missing. Something is missing. And it's not God's fault. Sorry. It's not the fault of the Holy Spirit. It's not the fault of the Lord. We need to make ourselves available. Position. I beg you, position yourself. Position yourself. Just like when the ark, whose house was the Ark of the Covenant? Obed-Edom. When that presence was in that house, they were blessed beyond belief. They didn't even do anything. They were just blessed because His presence was there. We want to walk in the blessing. Holy Spirit, abide in us. Tabernacle in us. With us. In our homes. In our schools. You guys, you should be taking this to your schools. Taking this to your schools. There's a generation that needs Jesus. I read the texts that come into my son's phone. They need Jesus. They need the power. They need the kingdom. They need the Holy Spirit. They need it. So I'm going to actually think about this. What would this family look like if we start to shape our life around this, around embracing the Holy Spirit? Not on Sunday alone. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I'm sleeping. I woke up. I put my foot. Holy Spirit, the living God, thank you for your presence moving in my life today. Show me. Visit me. Speak to me. Every day. He will speak to you in the night. The Bible says He teaches us in the night. He will. Your ears will start to get in tune and your eyes will start to see and you'll be like, I can't take it. I cannot believe that He's showing me this. This is too much for me to even absorb. It's the most awesome feeling you will ever have in your whole life. Amen. I'm telling you, this is just awesome. What would it look like individually if we all did this? If we took the challenge and said, you know what, Lord? I'm done. Stop that. I'm done. I am done. I am going to live for you. I am going to seek your presence. I am going to seek your face. What would it look like if individually, and then we came here corporately, and we were all so full of the Spirit of God, and those rivers were flowing out of us, would it look different, wouldn't it? Quite frankly, I have an idea, but I'm sure it wouldn't look like what I'm thinking. That's the challenge, and that's the challenge I want to leave you with, because I believe the Lord wants us to walk in the oneness of God. That's what He called us for communion.
The preceding message by Joshua Johnion was brought to you by friends and partners of Maranatha Koinonia, helping people everywhere believe that Jesus is the only way. Be sure to visit us at maranathach.com and like us on Facebook and Twitter at Maranatha Koinonia.